It is 128. You're listening to 89.1 KUAR Little Rock, a listener-supported service of UA Little Rock in partnership with UAMS. We are breaking into our regular programming this hour to bring you live coverage of Governor Asa Hutchinson's latest update on the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. This comes as the number of cases of COVID-19, the disease caused by coronavirus, continues to grow in Arkansas. At last check, the number of total cases confirmed by the State Department of Health is at 118. That update just came just under an hour ago. And that number is up from 96 cases, which was announced yesterday by Governor Hutchinson. And that later went up to 100 later Friday evening. Going into today's briefing, we heard at yesterday's briefing, 25 of Arkansas' 75 counties now have had confirmed cases of the virus. It has also been identified at 3 nursing homes across the state, including one here in Little Rock that's seen 13 cases among patients and staff. And as a result, the governor and state officials have made numerous actions in response to the growing number of cases. Most recently, we've heard schools will be closed in Arkansas until April 17th. And of course, bars and restaurants in the state can only serve food and drinks through takeout or delivery until further notice. And other indoor spaces like gyms are also closed until further notice. Here in Little Rock, Mayor Frank Scott Jr. has instituted an overnight curfew in an effort to encourage social distancing that's in effect until midnight through 5 a.m. every night. And we have also seen an influx of cash coming in from the state to minimize damage to the economy as people are out of work. So far, there's been just under $20 million committed by the governor and state economic development officials for loans to small and mid-sized businesses. And we've also had a disaster declaration approved by the U.S. Small Business Administration that could open up loans for small businesses as much as $2 million apiece. Other changes we've seen the State Department of Human Services waive a work requirement for recipients of the Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, also known as SNAP or food stamps. DHS has also waived certain requirements around child care centers, as we've seen about 800 of those facilities close in Arkansas in response to the coronavirus outbreak. And just yesterday, at yesterday's briefing, the State Education Secretary, Johnny Key, said his department would seek a waiver from the Trump administration, allowing them to cancel ACT Aspire testing in the state for spring. And we've also had Governor Asa Hutchinson pledge $30 million to go toward building a stockpile of personal protective equipment in the state in case hospitals and other healthcare providers run out. And if you are just joining us, this is live coverage of Governor Asa Hutchinson's latest press briefing on the ongoing coronavirus pandemic here in Arkansas. This is 89.1 KUAR Little Rock, a listener-supported service of UA Little Rock in partnership with UAMS. We're awaiting the governor and state health officials to approach the podium, as has been the case with all but one of these now daily briefings. We're expecting the governor to announce that the total number of positive test results has grown. At last check, just under an hour ago, the State Health Department says that total number is 118. That is up again from 96 cases announced yesterday, which went up to 100 later Friday evening. We are still awaiting the briefing. We are watching a live picture from the State Department of Health's briefing room. We have been bringing you these briefings live for most of the week, actually every day this week here at KUAR. You can always listen live online at KUAR.org. Again, 25 of Arkansas's 75 counties have now confirmed cases of the novel coronavirus. It's been identified at 3 nursing homes across the state. That is in Pine Bluff, Little Rock, and Centerton. And now we go live to Governor Hutchinson.
So Nate, you're good there. Cam, won't you?
Nate, and it looks like he is joined by Surgeon General Greg Bledsoe, Department of Health Secretary Nate Smith, and UAMS Chancellor Dr. Cam Patterson.
Thank you for joining me and my health team today. We've been in meetings a large part of the morning, talk about everything from logistics and supply chain to what the future holds. Yesterday, we announced that we had 96 confirmed cases. Today, we have 22 new positive cases. Now the total is 118 positive cases in the state. One new county has been added to the list, and that is Sebastian County. And before Dr. Smith and others come here and speak to you, I wanted to speak about the future for a moment directly to the people of Arkansas. from looking at other states and projections that we can make here, and these are our best estimates, but looking at other states and projections, Arkansas is likely to reach the peak of COVID-19 spread in 6 to 8 weeks. At the peak, we are likely to see 1,000 COVID-19 patients hospitalized. This number strains our hospitals, our medical system, and our economy, and it endangers lives. Our goal, as you know, is to flatten the peak and to reduce the spread of COVID-19. And this is where we need everyone's help. We have asked the public to engage in social distancing. We have asked you to engage in screening if you're involved in a business so that you can better protect the employees and to avoid unnecessary travel. We're doing all that we can as a state to flatten the peak, to make sure that we don't get any worse than the projections. But we need your help to engage in these common sense protective measures for your own benefit and for the benefit of those that depend upon you and the elderly. Social groups should not be larger than 10. If we are successful in this effort as a public, as Arkansans, then we don't have to do what other states have done, which is shelter in place, cease more business activity, lose more jobs, and as you see, they have gone to more extreme measures. These are all hardships in which we are living under, but we do it for our neighbor, we do it for the elderly, and we do it for our state and nation. And so what will life be like over the next 6 to 8 weeks if we are successful in keeping that peak at that lower level that I mentioned? And the answer is, over the next 6 to 8 weeks, we produce, we work, we adjust, and we support each other. And that is important that we all do our part. Let me give you an illustration of a message that I received just last night. It was from a company in Arkansas in which there was a positive case for an employee within the workplace. The company, and of course, workers did not want to go to work when there was a positive case there, so the company is shutting down for 3 days, doing a deep cleansing. Of course, the positive case will be isolated and will get the treatment that they need. But the company will go back to work after they do the deep cleansing and after they take the appropriate measures, they're going to go back into production. And so that's what I see happening in the future. Over the next 6 to 8 weeks, we do our social distancing, we do our screening, we take these protective measures in place, and we produce because we have to produce in our country if we're going to keep meeting the needs of our society, both critical and otherwise, and to avoid the other extreme measures taken in other places. Let me emphasize that there is more unknown than known about the future, but this is our best expectation at the present time. I hope we are wrong. I hope that the peak is not as high. I hope that the trend is not as long. But if we don't reach those levels, we can rejoice. But let's do all we can to get life in Arkansas back to normal, and that takes some sacrifice by everybody. And so in the future, let's embrace life and all that it means to each of you, and let's get through this together. With that, Dr. Smith.
Thank you, Governor, for your leadership
during this difficult time. Health Department Secretary Nate Smith.
Thank you also, Surgeon General Greg Bledsoe and Chancellor Cam Patterson, for your partnership and leadership as well. Our current numbers for today is 118 cases that have tested positive. Of those, we have 9 children, 18 years of age or less. We have 32 seniors, 65 years or greater, and 77 adults, ages 19 through 64. We're about evenly balanced between females and males. And then in terms of race ethnicity, we have 21% African-American and 68% white, and then the other are divided amongst. We have 13 of our 118 patients are hospitalized, seven of whom have required ICU admission, and four that have been on a ventilator at some point during their hospital course. A few other things that I wanted to cover briefly. First of all, PPE, personal protective equipment, is a major issue. We're taking steps to address that, and I think Chancellor Patterson will talk a little bit more about that. We also need to conserve the PPE that we have. And the Department of Health has put out guidance for clinicians, hospitals, on how you can make the most of that PPE, protect yourselves, but don't be wasteful. These are not usual times, and so we're going to have to adapt the way that we use our PPE supplies. Second, we have put out guidance for dentists concerning focusing on just the absolutely necessary procedure, putting off elective visits and procedures, because many of the procedures that dentists do produce aerosols, which can cause a high risk of spread of COVID-19 to patients, to dental hygienists, and to the dentists themselves. We ask that you follow that guidance, and we will be strengthening that with a directive. And then finally, I want to talk a little bit about elective surgical procedures. We will be coming out with guidance for hospitals, especially those in the urban areas, about considering the use of your resources for elective surgical procedures. By postponing those, we can conserve PPE, we can open hospital beds, and with fewer patients and visitors, reduce the risk of spread of COVID-19 within the hospital setting. For our rural hospitals, that's less of an issue, and those won't be covered in this guidance, but especially for our urban areas, it's important that we open up those hospital beds because we're likely to need them for an influx of patients with COVID-19. And finally, I just want to thank all of you, the public. What we're asking you to do during these times is not easy. Whether you're a dentist, whether you're a hospital administrator, or whether you're just someone who's at home with your kids because the schools are out. These are not easy things, and we're not asking you to do them because they're easy. We're asking you to do them because they're necessary. And I want to thank you for your efforts in that.
Thank you, Governor Hutchinson.
UAMS Chancellor Dr. Cam Patterson.
I applaud you for being honest with the people of Arkansas about our best projections for how this virus is going to impact the people of Arkansas. One question that this raises is, do we have the resources, the capacity to manage an epidemic of this size? While we are working through the logistics of how we are going to manage a sick patient population of this size, I think that based on our best projections, I do think that we will be able to manage that. And I think it's heartening to know that of the problems that we have already begun to face, we've been able to come to resolution with many of the difficulties that we have faced as we've learned about COVID-19. For example, the issue of testing for COVID-19. The Arkansas Department of Health has borne the brunt of that burden so far. Starting tomorrow, UAMS will be doing 240 COVID-19 assays a day, and then next week we'll add an additional 500 COVID-19 assay capacity for the state. These are all assays that will not require send out to commercial laboratories, and will have much more rapid turnaround time than is currently existing for commercial assays. So we'll be able to do on the order of 750-800 COVID-19 assays at UAMS for people across the state with 6 to 10 hour turnaround time. This will greatly facilitate testing. It will also greatly facilitate determining who needs to be quarantined, who doesn't need to be quarantined, who we need to be concerned about in terms of further therapy. Another big announcement this weekend was the creation of a fund, $30 million, And Governor Hutchinson, I thank you for your leadership in bringing us together, through which UAMS will use our sourcing department to identify bulk purchases of personal protective equipment for hospitals and medical centers across the state of Arkansas. This will dramatically facilitate our ability to push PPE out where it is needed, and also make it easier for systems in Arkansas to get personal protective equipment at lower than market rate. So this is a big advance for us in making sure that our healthcare providers are safe as they are managing these patients, and that we are conserving our resources to the best of our ability to do so. Now, having said that, I want to remind everybody that if you are an individual who's concerned about whether you have COVID-19, your first step really should not be to go directly to a healthcare provider. You should not be in an emergency room or a clinic if you can avoid it. And we have hotlines set up across the state, including at UAMS, where you can be screened by telephone. We have UAMS Health Now, which is available for a face-to-face consultation through your iPhone, your tablet, or your laptop. And there are at least 8 sites across the state of Arkansas, including 3 in Little Rock, at Baptist, UAMS, and Arkansas Children's for pediatric patients, where you can be screened in a drive-through, so that you can avoid having to have face-to-face interactions with a healthcare provider in an emergency department. We encourage you to use that. Remember, the things that we can do to help stay on the trajectory or improve the trajectory that we are on are simple. They're the 4 things that Governor Hutchinson articulated: social distancing, good hand hygiene, screening when appropriate, and avoiding unnecessary travel. If we can just focus on those 4 things and do them well, we will be in good shape.
And Surgeon General Dr.
Thanks,
Greg
Governor,
Bledsoe.
And thanks to Drs. Patterson and Smith for their leadership. I just wanted to touch on a couple of things today. The first thing is telemedicine. It was with great effort, we expanded the telemedicine services in the state last week. We want to thank everyone who participated in that. First, Governor Hutchinson, because of his executive order, which opened up telemedicine in the state of Arkansas, but also to the insurance providers, to Medicaid, and then the providers themselves. This has not been a simple transition. It's been a lot of work. It's not perfect. We're still tweaking things, but it's something that's been good for the state, and we want that to continue. If you're a provider and you are still seeing patients, you need to try to use the telemedicine services that are being set up. Try to start first with telemedicine, and then, you know, secondarily see people face-to-face. There are a lot of resources to help you with that. And if you have questions about handling the COVID-19 patients, the coronavirus patients, I want to give you a call number. This is for clinicians. So this is not for the general public. This is for doctors, nurse practitioners, nurses, people like that who are taking care of these patients and might have questions and want to speak to an infectious disease expert. The number is 884-930-3023. Once again, that's 884-930-3023. So clinicians around the state can call that number to get advice on handling these COVID-19 patients. And one other thing I want to say, this has been a big disruptive event. And when you have a disruptive event, especially one that's as large as this, you start looking for innovators and innovation. There are basically 2 ways that we get innovation. We get it top down, and that's what we're trying to do with our government supply chains and the government services. We're trying to innovate within our structure. And thanks to Governor Hutchinson's executive order, we're able to do that by getting rid of some of the regulations that were holding that back. But there's another type of innovation that's really important for the public, and that's the bottom-up sort of innovation. So this is the sort of innovation that we can all do. So whether you're a healthcare worker, a business leader, or a church leader, or just a mom and dad who's trying to figure out how to handle these new parameters with social distancing and quarantining, what we would encourage you to do is look for ways to be innovative and creative in solving some of these problems. What does this look like? Well, in healthcare, we just talked about telemedicine. That's one way. In businesses, I've been really amazed and inspired going around and talking to people in various small businesses and asking them what they're doing in the new social distancing phase that we're in. And a number of them have explained to me very creative ways that they're holding on to their employees, supporting their community. We want that to continue. And then with our families, it's a big change. The kids are at home. A lot of the parents are working remotely. There's a lot of different things that we can be doing to innovate within that structure. And so we want to encourage people to invest this time that you have. Use it to get healthy. Use it to exercise, be outdoors, spend time with the family. I was texting with a buddy of mine, Jake Beckett, who sent me his reading list that he's been reading through. And I appreciate the list that he gave me. It's one of the things that we're going to be talking about in my family, about reading more and spending time together. So these are just some of the ideas that we have been talking about. We are excited and encouraged that the communities seem to be coming together to support each other. And we want to continue to do that so that we can support each other in this transition with social distancing moving forward. Thank you.
And Governor Hutchinson speaking again.
Sir, the Washington Post has a story which you may be familiar with that apparently the intelligence community, the story says the intelligence community was providing the White House as early as January with information that this thing was getting out of control in China, far worse than the Chinese were acknowledging. When, sir, did you get the first hard information from Washington? Any agency, the White House or any other agency, when was your administration, did your administration get some early warnings?
Our warnings were generally the public information from the media. I couldn't pinpoint a date. I'd have to look back in the calendar. Quite frankly, probably the most early serious warnings came from Senator Cotton, who raised the alarm, actually, what I recall. But I'd have to get specific information. But generally, we received information through the public venue as to the challenges that might be in the future for the country.
In other words, you were getting it as soon as we were. Is that
yes.
fair?
That's correct. Yes.
I want to ask more about this peak in 6 to 8 weeks. At that point, what's your expectation in terms of tests per day? How many positives do you expect to be getting per day, and what the total population that you expect to be sick at this time?
Let me emphasize that whenever you articulate it with the number of COVID-19 patients that are hospitalized at 1,000, there during the course of a week will be patients who are hospitalized and released to go home. So that is a peak of a constant state of hospitalization of 1,000. That's just a measuring stick. Obviously, when you reach the peak, then you have a downward trend, which we're anxious to get to. And of course, then you still have people hospitalized, but it's a downward trend. I'll let Dr. Smith start on the comments as to how this relates to testing. Obviously, if you have 1,000 that are hospitalized, then that means you have many, many more that are sick, that are simply at home, and you have many, many more that are being tested. So why don't you add to that, Dr. Smith?
Health Department Secretary Nate Smith.
Modeling and estimates are all based on previous experience, and we have limited experience with this virus, and so none of them are likely to be precise. But based on our estimates of how many in populations that have been infected so far, then we can look at that, and then estimate the number who are likely to be ill enough to require hospitalization. And that's different in different populations, so there's obviously some range to that. And then, of course, a smaller proportion of those who will be sick enough to require more intensive care or a ventilator. And those are some of the numbers that we're looking at. Again, there's a range of estimates, but this is what we'll continue to refine as we go along, as we get more information about what's actually happening here in Arkansas.
But do you have like a rough estimate for what percentage of the population you think will get sick from this virus?
It'll be difficult to know here. What we're finding out is that many people are infected asymptomatically or have very mild symptoms, and so what we've had reported to us may not be the total total percentage of the population that's actually infected, but models have used a range from 27% up to even higher, 45 or so percent.
What known rate of infection will you require that people actually shelter in place the way it's been done, Governor?
Well, this is something that you evaluate every day, but the purpose of my communication today on the next 6 to 8 weeks in our future is to give people confidence that if we do what we're supposed to do in terms of social distancing and taking care of ourselves and each other, then we will meet our goal, we'll reduce that trend line, and we won't have to go to those extreme measures, such as you've seen elsewhere, home isolation, sheltering in place and things like that. That would just totally shut down everything, and except for essential services. And so your question is, at what point do you make that determination? That determination, one, is not being planned. That is very, very important, because I get constant communication. Are you going to be shutting down the construction industry? Are you going to be shutting down manufacturing? And the answer is there's no plan to do that. And if we do what we're supposed to do, we won't have to get there. But this is a public health emergency, and we'll listen and evaluate that every day based upon what we learned from other states, what is successful, and what we need to do to reduce that trend line to get us over this as quick as possible.
Has the health department suggested a rate where you might consider it a rate of infection among the population?
I believe the answer is no, but I'll let him answer that.
No, that's really a more complicated decision than one parameter, and we're really not going to know the true percentage of the population infected because we won't be able to test everyone every day. But we'll be looking at number of hospitalizations, we'll be looking at the acceleration of new cases, we'll be looking at what's actually happening in our communities. If they've largely shut down anyhow because of sick individuals, that would be a reason. But very much so, we're going to be looking at the experience of other states. There are big costs to sheltering in place, and there's so far not a proven benefit to that. So we want to see some evidence that those are strategies that actually work before we recommend them or experiment with them in our state.
Can you give us an update?
We're going to go back here, but I've got one more comment. Let me finish up here that when you look at measuring sticks, you could say, well, how many are we testing? How many actually have COVID-19? You could look at how many people are hospitalized. I do believe that the hospitalization is a good measuring stick because, as Dr. Smith pointed out, that you'll have some that will be COVID-19, but it'll be easy for them to overcome. They're not hospitalized. They go home, they get over it, the young and those that are healthy and fit. So the hospitalization is a good criteria to look at, and that's why we sort of pin that. Yes, ma'am.
If the peak is projected to be in 6 to 8 weeks, what will that mean for schools? Do you imagine closing schools at that time?
We have closed schools to April 17th, and that's where we evaluate it every day between now and then, obviously giving everybody adequate notice. But we're going to see what we learn between now and April 17th as to whether we're on our trend line, how we're responding as a society, are we reducing the risk and the hospitalizations. And hopefully we'll be on target to be able to go back to school at that point, but this is something we'll evaluate day by day as we get to that point.
And what are the projections if we do flatten the curve in that 6 to 8 week mark?
You mean if we flatten it more than, the 1,000 hospitalization at the peak, then that is great news. That means that we can have a closer opportunity to get back to normal. It also means that the tail might be flatter, but it could be longer. And is that right, Dr. Smith? But that's good news. If we beat that trend line, then that means we are able to get back to normal in a quicker fashion, and we know how to get there.
Perhaps I missed it, sir, or misunderstood, but from the medical community, if this is the term, the stress level on our hospitals, not just in Little Rock, but elsewhere, are we at a stress level approaching it, or is it manageable for the time?
This question to UAMS right now, Chancellor Cam Patterson.
We're managing this very well, and you know, the stress is driven in part by the lack of supplies, which through the support of Governor Hutchinson, we have a plan for, and bringing new workflows into the healthcare system. You know, screening everybody who comes in, visitation restrictions, et cetera. So that is the source of stress right now. It's a real stress, but it's not a stress in terms of inpatient capacity or anything like that. No hospital has had more than two patients who are COVID-19 positive at a time right now. But the stress that we have is real, and as the numbers increase, the stress is going to get greater. So I would encourage everyone in the community, I'm sure you all know members of the healthcare profession, now would be a great time to take 5 minutes and just say thank you for doing a good job, for putting yourself in harm's way, and for helping us get through this as quickly as possible.
Yes, ma'am.
My first question, as the new cases that were announced, are any of them at the nursing homes that were affected earlier or any new nursing homes affected?
Health Secretary Nate Smith.
Yes, we have, fortunately, most of those tested so far since yesterday in the nursing homes have been negative. But we do have additional cases in two of those three nursing homes. We have a lot more that we'll be testing today, so we'll have probably a clearer picture of what's going on in each of those three facilities by tomorrow or Monday.
Okay. And do you know any precautions that they're taking now that they know that they
have? Absolutely. We have given them guidance on infection control procedures. We are excluding health workers who have tested positive and segregating those residents who have tested positive from those who either have tested negative or who have not yet been tested.
And I have another question for the governor. Earlier this week, you said people could file for unemployment online and not to come into the office. We've talked to some people who have reached out saying they've tried today, but it says they can't do it and have to do it Monday through Friday during certain times. Is this only a thing that they can do on weekdays, or will it be available on weekends as well?
Well, the online system should be operational, but we're also dependent upon the federal system, and the federal system has had a glitch because of the enormous volume nationwide, because they have to take the Social Security number, put it in the system, and that's been part of the challenge. So everyone needs to be patient with that part of it. I would encourage everyone who's looking for unemployment assistance, you don't need to go to the office. You don't need to go to the Workforce Services regional or county office. Look first online. There'll be a number that you can call as well, and be patient. Stick with that. But the more that goes down to the office, then one, there's a more exposure potential, but also you've got the fact that it's just a better opportunity to do it online or by telephone. All three of those options will be available. They're working hard to make it workable. But there's just such a massive volume nationwide and in Arkansas that it's going to take us some time to process through that.
I have a fiscal comment.
Can you give us an update on the fiscal session as well as tax filing?
I had a conference call with some of the House Senate leadership today to discuss both the fiscal session as well as the tax filing time. We have more work to do on that before a final decision is made. I'll just emphasize that the federal government has two options that we don't have, or two opportunities that we don't have. Their fiscal year ends in October 30th. Ours ends June 30th. So their extension to July 15 does not impact their fiscal year. To us, that does. That would extend it beyond the fiscal year. Secondly, we have to balance our budget. So whatever we do, we have to balance our budget on June 30th, and we can't print money in Arkansas. And so we just have greater limitations. We're looking because we want to be able to provide relief, and I applaud the legislators and the leadership for for looking for creative alternatives. We have a lot more work to do before I can be definitive on that point. Hopefully sometime next week we'll be more clear. The in terms of the fiscal session set for April 8th, that's said, I don't expect that to change. They indicate that they are trying to still sort through the how to accomplish that consistent with the Constitution and these public health directives.
Leslie. Although we might think everybody knows what's going on just because we're so steeped in it, a friend of mine yesterday spoke to someone in Hot Springs who was completely unaware of what's going on. So I wonder, are you thinking of doing any kind of billboard advertising, poster advertising statewide so that people who may not watch press conferences or listen to the radio or read the paper know what's going on?
Well, we hope we don't have to invest money in advertising. But I did note that the city of Little Rock did some of that. So we will evaluate that. But your point is well taken. There is a need to get the word out better. I would encourage everybody who's listening to this to use social media to help us expand the information flow. And I think it's part of the challenge, too, is that we've provided guidance and some people aren't listening to that guidance. And so they're not limiting their travel. They're not limiting their social distancing, or they're not doing that. And so take this seriously. Listen to the guidance and help participate in this and help us to get the word out so that we can meet our objectives of that 6 to 8 week time frame to peak on this, and we can get back to normal sooner. Yeah, please, absolutely.
Yeah.
UAMS Chancellor Cam Patterson.
This past week, I recorded a couple of public service announcements, so I would encourage the local media to run those so that we can get the word out about this.
Have you been in touch with Mr. Walter or any intel from DFNA regarding the revenue situation thus far, their collections since this arose?
Well, I have very regularly with them, and we should be fine in March, which is a little bit of a surprise, but it's, you know, March will be okay, but April, May, and June, the projections are that we could take a $100+ million hit to general revenues, just simply logically, because sales tax revenue goes down, you know, individual tax payments will go down. And of course, if you delay the filing deadline and payment deadline, you know, that's a significant hit as well. That is of concern and something that we're addressing, but there is an economic hit that everybody feels, and it's just natural that they feel it individually. We're gonna feel it as a state as well. One final question.
I've got one, sir.
All right, we got two then. One here, Steve, and one in the back. With Steve.
Dr. Patterson would have seemed to be at pains to thank you for your candor and the honesty, I think was his word. You feel that Washington's been honest with you and your counterparts across the country?
Well, I think Dr. Fauci and they have been very clear in their best estimates and projections on this. They recognize that it's a little bit unpredictable. So, I have no quibble with what they're saying, but every state is unique. And, you know, New York's going through a circumstance in California. Arkansas is in its own time frame here. And so they might be saying one thing in Washington that's honest nationally, but we need to evaluate where we are. And so this is just simply me as the governor trying to explain with my health team to Arkansas what's ahead for us. Yes?
I know we're all trying to avoid person-to-person contact and things of that nature. A lot of people have been asking, will you consider waiving service fees for people that have to pay for different fines and things of that nature? Because a lot of them don't feel comfortable, you know, sending checks or putting money in the mail. So they just want to know if you would consider waiving service fees.
Well, service fees for what?
For like when they're paying like for court fines or different things of that nature.
Well, people have to adjust, and you know, if you have to If you don't want to put something in the mail, you can, hopefully you can pay many of those things online, you just have to adjust. I mean, you can't stop paying your rent. You can't stop paying your mortgage payment. You certainly will have a bigger challenge if you have lose your job, and I expect some compassion in terms of those that are relying upon those payments. But those decisions in terms of court fees and things like that are really determined by the court, the judge, or the local jurisdiction. Yes?
Can we just clarify what testing we've gotten back from the nursing homes and how many we're waiting on?
Health Secretary Nate Smith.
I don't have all the specifics there. We actually have collected specimens, or together with the nursing homes have collected specimens and are collecting on all of the residents and all of the staff. And we're moving those through our testing today and then probably even tomorrow, perhaps even Monday. We'll have a much clearer picture of where we are when we have some of those results.
Steve, did you have one final question right here, Steve?
Dr. Fauci has often, and his colleagues, his clinical colleagues in D.C. have been saying one thing. An entirely different message was coming from the White House.
Let me just say, I know the president and his team just had an hour and a half news conference on this. I didn't have a chance to listen to it. So I really have been listening to my team right here. I can't comment on the message coming out because I quite frankly have been too busy to deal with the circumstances that we face here. So I do the best I can to keep track of that, and I study it, but I just haven't been attuned to a lot of the messages coming out. Thank you all very much today.
And that was Governor Asa Hutchinson in his latest update on the coronavirus outbreak here in Arkansas. You are listening to 89.1 KUAR Little Rock, a listener-supported service of UA Little Rock in partnership with UAMS. Once again, we just wrapped up live coverage of the governor's latest update on the COVID-19 outbreak here in Arkansas. He was joined at the Arkansas Department of Health headquarters by the department's secretary, Dr. Nate Smith, Surgeon General Dr. Greg Bledsoe, and UAMS Chancellor Dr. Cam Patterson. And the latest news, Arkansas has 118 confirmed cases of coronavirus in the state. That is up from a total of 96 announced yesterday. There is one new county with its first case of COVID-19, that is Sebastian County. And this is the first briefing this week and in the recent memory that we have actually seen real projections and really just kind of gotten a picture of what this outbreak could really look like in Arkansas. Governor Hutchinson speaking earlier about the projections. Looking at other states, Arkansas is, he says, likely to peak, will reach the peak number of coronavirus cases, he says, in about 6 to 8 weeks. And again, he said that that would look like 1,000 hospitalizations in the state. Again, the governor is stressing the need for cooperation of the public. He says this is hard on everyone, but ensuring that we do things like social distancing, screening employees and customers for symptoms and fever, avoiding unnecessary travel, all of those things will ensure that we flatten the curve, as they call it here in the state, and that we do not enter a reality that is worse than the projections. Again, the projections that Arkansas is likely to reach its peak number of coronavirus cases in 6 to 8 weeks with 1,000 people hospitalized. We also got a brief update from Secretary of Health Dr. Nate Smith on the current cases of coronavirus here in Arkansas. 13 people have required hospitalization at some point during their time having the COVID-19 disease. Seven of those have been in an intensive care unit setting at some time, and four of those people have needed to be on mechanical ventilation. But again, Smith reiterating that many people are experiencing mild or no symptoms at all, so it is difficult to know how many will actually be getting coronavirus here in Arkansas. Once again, 118 total cases of the coronavirus here in Arkansas. That is the latest update from health officials and Governor Asa Hutchinson. Thank you for listening. We are going to return back to our regularly scheduled programming, and it is 2:13.